Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And our Uncommon Economic Indicators Project keeps going with your stories, videos, calls, and photos coming in to the Uncommon Economic Indicators homepage and map at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your own or see what others are putting up. We've heard from several gardeners on the site recently, and with the warm weather finally coming today, I guess it's time to start planting. Fuhrer Clark wrote to tell us, in past years, I had planted flowers and maybe some herbs to help spice up my cooking when I did my deck gardening. This year, it's potatoes, cabbages, peas, carrots. Bernard Klevikas writes, as a member of a community garden, I feel an uncommon economic indicator is the enormous expansion of our membership and the growing waiting list. The ability of people in an urban environment to grow their own food has taken on greater importance when people are finding it more difficult to make ends meet. Rather than going out to eat or buying expensive organic produce, our members are taking the time to nurture a garden plot and grow their own produce. Another gardener on our Uncommon Economic Indicators page, Jean, writes, when my vegetable garden seeds didn't arrive after 3 weeks, I called the seed company. They said they'd gotten so many orders this year that they had to hire extra people to handle the volume. Apparently, people are opting to grow their own vegetables to save money, so it seems that at least some companies are doing well. All those from our Uncommon Economic Indicators page. And joining us to discuss urban gardening in the current economic climate are Edie Stone, director of the New York City Parks Department Green Thumb Program, and Erica Packard, executive director of the Manhattan Land Trust, which operates community gardens in Manhattan and the Bronx. So thanks for coming inside on such a beautiful day, and welcome to WNYC. Happy Arbor Day, by the way.
Yes, happy Arbor Day. It's a pleasure to be here.
Edie, I understand there are many more people signing up to work in the gardens this year. Are indicators correct?
Yes, absolutely. We have found that about half of the gardens have reported that their membership has increased very much. And of the gardens that didn't say that, they definitely said their membership had stayed the same, but that there were a lot of new people coming in where old people went out. We've also had a lot more attendance at our workshops. We've had 1,500 more people last year than the year before at the workshops that we hold.
And the writer who mentioned waiting lists for planting beds in community gardens, you're seeing that?
Yes, absolutely, particularly in certain neighborhoods where there are a lot of young families like the East Village or in some of Brownstone, Brooklyn. There's such a long waiting list for gardens that you might want to think about joining a garden in another way than actually getting a planting bed, because most gardens produce a surplus. So if you're helping them out, keeping open hours or doing programming, you're still going to end up with free food even if you don't have that space yourself.
It's kind of part of an alternative, even barter economy that's springing up, so people can bypass the shortage of cash.
That's absolutely the case.
Erica, how much of a commitment is it to be a part of a community garden?
Well, actually, it's quite a big commitment, because you don't just grow your own food. You must maintain the property year round. So you would work your own bed. There are communal areas. We have to keep them clean of trash, the inside of the garden and the sidewalks. And in the winter, if there's snow or ice, it has to be removed. There's also meetings and discussions and decisions that gardeners need to make about what they're going to do in their garden, what programs, et cetera.
But what if you want to help in a garden but can't make that type of commitment?
Well, some gardens will allow you just to come in, and there are a variety of things that you can do. For example, we really encourage gardens to be open as much as possible. So maybe you can contribute a couple hours a week to be in the garden, have the gates open, and allow people to come in, even if you can't participate in bigger ways.
Make one of the deals that Edie was talking about, help out around the edges, maybe get some food around the edges. And Edie, some people worry about growing food when the soil in New York City could contain lead or toxic runoff or have high pesticide concentrations, or who knows what the cars are spewing into the soil in community gardens. Can we grow safe food? Can we be confident in the soil we find in New York neighborhoods?
Well, there's a yes, you can be confident and you can grow safe food, but there's a caveat to that, and that is that you definitely don't want to be planting edibles directly into the ground. In Parks Department community gardens, we provide clean soil so that people can construct raised beds. And with most vegetables that you would grow, as long as you have 12 inches of depth, you're not going to have the roots of those vegetables going all the way into the soil that was already there. There is lead in many of the soils in community gardens because it was in the paint that was in the housing that was demolished on a lot of those. So another way you can improve the soil in the common areas, not even in the food growing areas, but just to minimize it, is to put down organic matter or wood chips.
Coming from our webpage, we moved up to Westchester 4 years ago and started our garden 3 years ago. We now grow all of our summer salad greens and three kinds of tomatoes, as well as cucumbers, broccoli, chard, zucchini, peppers, including chili peppers, which we dry for the winter. We do this in 3 12-by-4-foot boxes surrounded by a deer fence. We grow tomatoes and cukes on the fence, so you don't need a lot of space. Erica, that's certainly the case in the city.
Oh, very much so. It's amazing how much is produced in small areas. And a lot of it depends upon the size of the garden. Some are larger and some are very small. But with good gardening techniques and with people who really are interested in gardening, quite a bit can be produced.
And you oversee community gardens that are on land bought from the city. And I understand the members of these gardens may become the owners of the space at some point in time?
Yes, we're hoping that in the next few months that those gardens will be conveyed to both the Bronx Gardens will be conveyed to the Bronx Land Trust and the Manhattan Gardens will be conveyed to the Manhattan Land Trust. So in a sense, the gardeners who fought to save them will then become the owners of the property.
And on that point, I want to bring in City Councilwoman Helen Foster to talk about two resolutions that she's got going in City Council to expand the Green Thumb program and to turn some of the Green Thumbs, the community gardens, into official city parks. Councilwoman Foster, thanks for coming back on WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. How are you?
Good, thank you. Tell us about your resolutions.
Well, I think it's important that, as was mentioned, people fought to save these gardens, and we need to make sure that they are saved in the future and that are transferred to the parks or consider and mapped as park land so that we don't have to every 10 years or, you know, wait for another suit or injunction to make sure these community gardens are preserved. And what you're seeing is that more and more people are becoming interested in gardening. I mean, when I went to the Green Up, I was just amazed at the number and how many people are there. And people that I didn't even know that I either saw at church or other places were like, oh, I saw you. I have a little garden in my community. And so it is something that has to be preserved.
If these Green Thumb gardens are turned into city parks, what does that actually mean for usage? If it's really public space rather than quasi-private space by people in a community, what does that mean for who gets to use them?
Well, it's the same commitment that was explained earlier, and I'm sorry, I think it's Annie, right?
We have Erica and Edie.
Edie. No, I know Edie. Erica, I must have gotten the name wrong. But as was explained earlier, the commitment in terms of being a part of a garden. So it's not a way of excluding people. It's a way of including people.
Is it easier politically now, Councilwoman, to try to expand the Green Thumb program, which I guess means having more city land set aside for gardens, which was so controversial going back to the Giuliani administration? There were big battles over whether then vacant land could remain as community gardens when real estate was starting to become so valuable in New York City. This kind of thing. Is it easier now with real estate declining and maybe not being so much in demand to get this kind of thing through?
Know that I would say it's easier. I don't think anything is easy when it comes to politics. I will say that more elected officials, as well as more of the public, the constituents, are understanding the importance, especially in New York City, of green space, of having open space, and especially when we look at these economic hard times where fewer and fewer people are going to be able to go on vacations or, you know, maybe drive out to the country, this is going to be their little piece of green for them, being able to garden, being able to get fresh fruit. And also a big thing is being able to use it as an educational tool for our children, who this might be the only patch of dirt that they ever see, get to put their hands in, and it's in the heart of their community.
And your district is in the Bronx, right?
Yes.
So there's certainly that different kind of landscape for kids there to see. But I wonder if you also see, representing a largely poor community, this as part of an alternative economy, especially today.
Oh, absolutely. I think it gives people the opportunity to grow their own fruit, their own vegetables, to be able to even do type of a barter system where I give you this in exchange for that. But you also are being able to bring in a younger generation that can get involved and learn about open and potential green jobs that will carry them into the future.
City Councilwoman Helen Foster from the Bronx sponsoring Resolution 1033 to expand the Green Thumb Community Garden Program and Resolution 1890 to turn green thumbs into official city parks. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
As we continue for a few more minutes with Erica Packard, Executive Director of the Manhattan Land Trust, which operates community gardens in Manhattan and the Bronx, and Edie Stone, Director of the New York City Parks Department Green Thumb Program. And from our comments page, Edie, somebody asks, where do you find community gardens or find out how to start one? I have yet to find any in my neighborhood, Inwood in this case, but there are so many empty lots here. That would be great spaces to convert.
Well, this really speaks to some of what Councilwoman Foster was talking about. Unfortunately, though there's a lot of vacant land left in the city, very little of it is city-owned, and so it's very hard for us now to start community gardens. However, gardens there are quite a lot of gardens around. I only know one in Inwood, but if you call the Green Thumb hotline at 212-788-8070, or if you go on our website, you can be directed to how to look on a map called Oasis NYC, and you can actually search for a garden close to you. Call us, and we'll give you the information on how to contact the volunteers that run that garden.
And aha, there's a Green Thumb hotline. It has emerged. 212-788-8070. Is that what
That's
you said?
That's true. But also you can go through 311. All city calls go through 311.
Mary in Connecticut, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Good morning. While you're waiting for your plot in the community garden,
yes,
a great way to grow things in the city, even if you have a limited amount of space, is hanging tomatoes. And you don't have to spend $20 on the kits that they sell. If you can cut a hole in a pickle bucket, the trick to keeping the tomato hanging upside down, the tomato plant, is just to slice a kitchen sponge and slide it through there. And if you're worried about the dirt, like when you're taking over a lot, if you stake up some hanging tomatoes over the lot that you're waiting to cultivate, you can just pour the soil right in the pickle bucket, and there you have a crop that's so easy and doesn't take up any space at all.
The resourceful urban gardener, Mary in Connecticut. Mary, thank you for those tips. And Erica, I understand you saw the screening of a movie by Scott Hamilton Kennedy called The Garden that shows life in a community garden, correct?
Yes, I did. It was a very interesting movie. I would recommend it to everyone because it shows all the aspects of a garden. Gardens are involved with people, and there are often conflicts. There's some wonderful things.
There's a lot of politics in this too, right?
Yes.
Wasn't this an L.A. community garden that people wanted to raise, to cut down?
Yes. It was actually 14 acres, and there were over 300 families that gardened in there, and eventually they lost that entire 14 acres. It was bulldozed, and this is the movie about the process.
So then what do you think about what I asked Councilwoman Foster before? In this new environment where maybe there isn't such competition for real estate, I realize this is still New York, but maybe not such as there was 5 years ago, is it easier to start or keep a community garden?
I think it probably is easier to keep them. I would say that the advantage to the land trust is that they've been bought, so they're permanently preserved. But we certainly want to encourage gardening everywhere. I think in Manhattan, there's probably very little space to start a new garden. But there are plenty of gardens where people can join. So I think that's the best thing to tell people, is to try to join an existing garden and to talk to officials about how important gardening is. It's a very interesting and unique aspect of urban space.
And we have to leave it there. Erica Packard, Executive Director of the Manhattan Land Trust, Edie Stone, Director of the New York City Parks Department Green Thumb Program, inspired by three of you who posted to our Uncommon Economic Indicators telling us how newly popular the community gardens in your neighborhoods are. You can keep posting your stories, photos, videos to our Uncommon Economic Indicators at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. What are the indicators that you see in your life and your neighborhood? And Edie and Erica, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Evergan, Paige Cowett produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor. Intern help from Kira Feldman and Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. Have a great summery weekend. I'm Brian Lehr.